This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 631 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thanks for tuning in. Jim Sonnis came on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about this year's quarterback class. Last week, I chatted with Alfredo Brown about wide receivers. Today, it's the Ryan McDowell Show as we talk about the running back class. For those of you who don't know Ryan, he's a beast in the dynasty world. He's a partner over at DynastyLeagueFootball.com, and you could easily argue that no one has a better understanding of player value than he does. And he shares his insight over on DynastyLeagueFootball.com as well, a great resource for all things dynasty. But I sat down and talked to Ryan about how he views this year's running back draft class in general, how he ranks rookies in startup drafts before the NFL draft happens, whether or not Kyren Williams' combine completely torpedoed his value, and so much more. Ryan gave some really insightful answers that I think that you're going to enjoy. Before getting to the interview, soccer fans, this season, FanDuel and Captain Morgan are teaming up to give you a one-of-a-kind soccer contest to spice up game day. Introducing the Captain Morgan Soccer Pick'em, a weekly fantasy contest that's entirely free to play. The contest is simple. All you have to do is answer 10 questions about Captain Morgan and that week's soccer matchup. People with the most correct answers will earn their share of cash prizes. Head over to FanDuel.com/freegames/Captain Morgan and spice up game day with a free shot at cash prizes every Saturday. No purchase necessary, 21 years or older to enter, location restrictions apply, void where prohibited. See full terms at FanDuel.com. Now let's listen to Ryan's take on this year's running back class. So Ryan, I like to always kick things off with just a general vibe check on the class. So how are you feeling about this running back class, and how would you compare this class to groups in recent memory?
Yeah, I can't lie here, JJ. It's pretty rough. I think everybody has realized that by now. I think what really is hurting this class is it feels like it lacks potential bell cow backs, right? Like, yeah. I know we'll get into some of the individuals here, but I think we have few bell cow possibilities and a lot of specialists. And I like the specialists, but they're not going to carry that same type of value, especially pre-draft. So when you look at the class as a whole right now, it feels like Breece Hall and everybody else. I was looking back at some of the past classes, and it really feels like 2019 to me. Like, that was Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, and then a big drop off to everyone else. And a couple of those guys have been good. You know, Damian Harris has been fine. Madison has looked good in his limited opportunity. But even Jacobs, Sanders, Montgomery certainly haven't reached that elite status. So I think Hall has a chance to be better than those guys, better than each of those guys individually. But that's kind of the class I'm thinking of when I look at this year's group of running backs.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, you mentioned Breece Hall. He's the consensus top running back, at least for fantasy purposes within the dynasty community. You're going to find probably a little bit more Kenneth Walker love amongst draft analysts who might not weigh the receiving profile as much, etc. But what is it about Breece that you think could make him potentially special at the NFL level?
Yeah, I've really become more and more of a fan of Breece Hall the more I look into him and kind of study his game. I mean, the metrics, the numbers are just off the chart. Not only his production at Iowa State, but of course what we saw him do at the combine. I mean, not even 21 years old yet. You love that. The value, though, is just already off the chart. We run some Dynasty ADP at DLF. He's already the RB7 in our ADP there, 14 overall. So, I mean, that's the range that Najee Harris was at this point, essentially. That's almost the range that Saquon Barkley was at a couple of years ago. You know, maybe a good landing spot later this month could result in Breece Hall costing you a first round dynasty startup pick. So that certainly feels rich. I love the player. It almost feels like we're buying at his peak almost already, though.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, and I understand it. You know, I answered a mailbag question on this past mailbag episode about Breece Hall and his general ADP at this point. You know, across sites, obviously, you mentioned at DLF, he's at RB7. I think it's sort of like this combination of obviously youth. You know, you want the youth, you want the appreciation. Right. But then on top of that, the running back position just has loads and loads of question marks. Like, I have him at RB8, and I have a guy, you know, Austin Eckler is right above him, which is probably around where, you know, the ADP would see him. But there's just question marks amongst guys that are right below him. So you can, it's one of those instances where you can understand why his ADP is where it is. But at the same time, when you're looking at a startup draft and you're seeing Breece Hall that early, it's going to be a little bit difficult, you know, especially compared to some of the wide receivers in that range, might be a little bit difficult to click draft.
I was just thinking of Javonte Williams last year, and I kind of could see, Breece Hall following that same path value-wise. Javonte Williams had a solid rookie season, obviously, but certainly not an elite rookie season. I mean, he wasn't even the full-time back on his own team, or the lead back most of the time. But looking again at that ADP, he goes from RB 18 in August to RB3 right now, and a top five overall player. So, you know, Breece Hall, and maybe we could say the same thing about Kenneth Walker, who's being valued relatively highly as well. They don't even have to be good or elite. They just have to not be bad.
Yeah. And the other thing too, like if you want to make the comp to what happened from a market value standpoint, from what happened with Javonte Williams, a lot of the reasoning, I think, with Javonte last year had to do with landing spot, had to do with the fact that Melvin Gordon was there. Yeah. And if you look across the league right now, there aren't many landing spots for these guys to go to and just see immediate workhorse production. I'm talking like truly like Najee Harris production from last year, right? There's going to be someone, even if Breece Hall goes to the Jets, let's say, where, yeah, he's going to still see a ton of work, don't get me wrong, but Michael Carter will squeeze in there and get some work. Or if he goes to Buffalo, you know, Devin Singletary could still be involved in some way. So I do think that that's a really good comp just in terms of the market, because if they do end up falling to a spot, which is more likely than not, where they might not be able to get that full workload, we could still see that appreciation in value from year one to year two, and you might end up getting a discount. Maybe we see a guy like Hall, a guy like Walker, someone like that, fall in ADP after the draft just because they don't get the ideal landing spot, which there aren't many of them, you know, across the NFL right now. Let's stick with Breece. I have a question for you, and I think it's easiest to answer this question if we think about a particular player and just kind of go from that angle. How do you go about ranking someone like Breece Hall in your dynasty rankings pre and post draft? Like, what are the things that you're taking into consideration? You know, I have Breece Hall at RB8 right now. You know, you might have him around that range, but what goes through your mind when you're ranking that player amongst established players in the league?
Well, so much goes into dynasty rankings in general, right? I think you can think about it from a dynasty startup standpoint. You know, if you're in a startup draft, do you want Breece Hall or Austin Eckler, right? You can think of trade value. And when you're talking specifically rookies, especially this time of year, for most of us, that's pre-rookie draft. I know a few of the crazies out there are already having their rookie drafts, but for most of us, we'll wait another few weeks. If we assume Breece Hall is the 101, and it looks like he will be right now, how many players are you trading for that 101? And in general, that's a pretty short list. So thinking about it that way, that's how you end up with Breece Hall at 14 overall, or at RB7 or RB8, because would you really trade Cam Akers for the 101 right now? Or would you trade the other way around? Would you trade the 101 for Cam Akers? Probably not. Antonio Gibson? Probably not. Guys like that. So you're already pushing Akers ahead of them, essentially with hopes of an ideal landing spot.
So would you then, you sort of go through the rookie draft process in your mind? Because you generally, you know, you've done so many rookie mocks, you've done rookie drafts and such. So you generally know where these guys are probably going to land. So like, let's say David Bell, for instance, you know, is going to be a late first, maybe early second in single quarterback league wide receivers. So you just kind of use that ADP then to sort of place him within your startup rankings. Is that right?
I think so. And it's kind of a combination of those. You're thinking, again, you're thinking startup, you're thinking trade, trade value, and you're thinking the rookie pick value.
Right.
So I think kind of a combination of all of those comes in putting those rookies in your rankings pre-draft.
Yeah, it makes sense. You and I both have Kenneth Walker as our RB2. You know, he may end up being the best pure runner in this class, But do you have the same concerns that I do from a pass catching standpoint? I've gone on, I've had many, many Twitter threads about Kenneth Walker and his pass catching. But are you, you know, are you one of the people that would say, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Michigan State didn't throw to their running backs that much. I can kind of brush this off. Or are you more on the side of this is a really, really big deal. He's not going to catch many passes at the NFL level. Or are you sort of in the middle there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about it, certainly. I think you've got some of the best numbers on this entire offseason. So I'll quote you to you.
Nice.
You know, that looking at the reception share of under 6%, right? Top 100 picks to do that. Ronald Jones, Deontay Foreman, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, Christian Michael. You know, we've got the big hit there, obviously, in Henry. But even with him, it took a few years for him to really produce. And, you know, right now, 5-6 years into his career, if you took Henry with the top five pick, that feels great. But for 2 or 3 years, you were doubting yourself. You were looking at who you passed on to make that pick. And then the rest of those options are just not very good in general. So I'm concerned about it. I kind of laugh about the best pure runner thing. I don't know if you saw the tweet earlier this week. I can't remember who it was. I apologize to whoever had that, but it was essentially, we say that about the guy who's just not good enough in fantasy football. And
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's Nick Chubb, right? So, yeah. I mean, you look at Nick Chubb, everybody says he's maybe the most talented running back, pure runner in the league, but he doesn't score fantasy points like so many other backs do, because he doesn't catch the ball very often. So, I mean, I kind of think of Nick Chubb as Walker's ultimate ceiling. And Chubb has obviously had some great years. He's been a top 10 dynasty running back, both in value. He's been a top 10 running back scorer in the league, but it just feels like there's a cap on that production and on that value. I think ultimately Walker ends up as the 102 pick in many dynasty rookie drafts, because of the lack of depth in this running back class and the lack of, as we talked about earlier, bell cow options.
Do you think that you'll keep him or have him? I can't remember what you had overall. I just wanted to look at your running back rankings. But would you be drafting one of the big first? I mean, we're going to get a lot of first round wide receivers in this class.
Right.
Would you be drafting one of those wide receivers over Kenneth Walker, assuming he goes to a very average landing spot?
Yeah, I would draft most of them over
him.
I mean, he would be... he would be probably, you know, 6 or 7 in my overall ranking, something like that. I'm looking at him as more of a mid first round option. But like I said, my expectation is he ends up as 102, maybe 103, depending on what we find out with these wide receiver landing spots. And I'm just not going to have any at that point.
Yeah, I'm with you. Running back, it's really interesting though, after Hall and Walker. I think that we can at least feel the most confident right now that Walker is going to be the RB2 in this class, at least,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
From a draft capital standpoint. Do you have a back that you like the most after those two are off the board? And do you think that that could possibly change post-draft?
I mean, RB3 right now is still Isaiah Spiller for me. I think the production was impressive, impressive enough. 3 years in the SEC, you know, over 1,100 total yards in each of those seasons. And it's been a rough pre-draft process for Spiller. He certainly has lost some value. And I think ultimately the NFL is going to tell us what they think of him and how to value him in dynasty. There's definitely a chance he's not even a first round dynasty rookie pick. If he falls to day three, if he's the 5th or 6th or 7th running back drafted instead of the 3rd, then that certainly would change.
Let's talk about Rashad White. He's someone who's getting a lot of love from the fantasy community because he looks really good analytically. You know, there's some concerns there. You know, are you concerned about his profile at all? Is there any concern about projected draft capital? Like, what are the negatives that you see with Rashad White? Maybe talk about the positives too.
Well, I think the positives and negatives with White, one of each, are really clear. I mean, he's maybe the best pass catching back in the league, or in the class, I should say. That's the positive. He's one of those specialists I mentioned earlier, but he can certainly be that pass catcher. I would love, we talked Derrick Henry earlier, I would love to see Rashad White land in Tennessee and be that second option and that pass catching back behind Derrick Henry. The draft capital, I mean, based on what we know now, is a concern. I've been checking out Grinding the Mocks a ton, which basically collects every mock draft out there and forms some ADP or some EDP expected draft position. It's not great for Rashad White. Running back 8, 137 overall. So I think even with comp picks, I think that's an early day 3 pick, I believe. We just want to see him get day 2 draft capital. But again, if he's the RB8, I mean, it's really going to kill his value. Right now in our dynasty rookie drafts, he's the RB4 and he's going late in the first round. That just feels like a trap right now to me.
Yeah, you're referencing the ADP. It just seems like people are pushing up running back from a demand standpoint, right? But the supply just doesn't seem to be there within this class.
I don't mean to take anything away from Rashad White in general, because I do think he's a talented player. And like I said, I think he has a role in the league. But when you've got so much name equity out there, right? I mean, James Cook, and we'll get into all these guys, I think, but James Cook and Zamir White and Brian Robinson, Jerome Ford, guys that played at big time programs and played late into the season, you know, and some of them in the national championship game. Like, how is Rashad White sneaking ahead of them, not only in rookie ADP, but even, you know, if you look at Underdog right now, he's going ahead of most of those guys. So I like the player. I just feel like we're overvaluing him right now.
One guy you just mentioned, James Cook, you know, I looked at your rankings before, you know, the show, because I wanted to ask you questions pertaining to those rankings.
Yeah.
You seem to be a little bit higher on James Cook in the consensus. What is it about Cook that you're sort of into? And do you think that his game really translates to the NFL?
Well, he's another pass catching specialist. I do think it translates. You know, Mike Renner from PFF called Cook the best pass catching running back in the draft class. He's the RB4, according to Grinding the Mocks. They expect him to be drafted around 88 overall. So we're talking about that mid to late third round range. He's at least expected to get that draft capital that we like. I thought the combine was impressive for him. Was a little bit bigger than most people thought. Came in just under 200, 199 pounds, but also faster than I expected him to be. I think it was a 4.42. For the 40. So overall, I think he impressed. And again, he's kind of got that name equity, not only from his time at Georgia, but of course, being Dalvin Cook's brother doesn't hurt either.
Yeah.
But I think he gets that draft capital that we're looking for.
Yeah. I could see James Cook being sort of like playing like a Michael Carter type role.
Yeah.
You know, what we saw from him, you know, not someone who's going to get you 250 carries, but he has plenty of opportunity to do something and make noise as a pass catcher. You know, one guy in January that likely would have been the RB3, RB4-ish in ADP at the time, and, you know, if everything went okay at the combine, he probably would have stuck there. He probably still would have been there. Kyren Williams, he just bombed the NFL combine. I don't remember seeing a combine from a fairly hyped running back that poorly, at least in recent memory. It was just really, really bad. Does that combine performance matter to you with Williams? And do you put a big emphasis on the combine in general at the running back position?
I think it has to matter. And in general, you know, can the combine shift things majorly? Not really, not for me. I mean, it's a piece of the puzzle, but when it's that bad, right? I mean, you look at Kyren Williams' number, 4.65, 40, 30th percentile, and 83 speed score. That's the 9th percentile, according to Player Profiler. And then he had his pro day and ran even slower than that. So, you know, yeah. You think you're going to get some home cooking on your pro day, but it was even worse. I think Kyren Williams is going to have a role because, again, he's one of those pass catching backs, but he's also he's been called the best pass blocking back in the league, or again in the class. Sorry about that, as well. So I think he's going to have a role. He's going to be able to get on the field. And at his current ADP, which is RB14, according to Grinding the Mocks, you know, he's turned into being an undervalued player, which was once way overvalued. You talked about his value in January and February. In our February rookie ADP, 11 overall. So he looked like an early or a late first round rookie pick. Now he's 27 overall. So that's kind of more in line. You're going to be able to get him late second, early third of your rookie drafts.
we're playing the market just as much as we're playing the individual player, right? And in this case, you know, I don't really want that much to do with Kyren Williams, but if he falls and falls and falls, then he falls and falls and falls, and he becomes, you know, every player becomes a value at some point. Similar to what we see every year. I mean, there's guys that get good draft capital every single year who people just don't want to have anything to do with from a rookie draft standpoint. At some point, you have to buy into that player. I mean, Van Jefferson, you know, he had day two draft capital, and he's going in round four of Superflex drafts. You know, it's just one of those things where you just got to play the market more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's one or two of those guys every year, right? I mean, and maybe it's a Rams thing because they did it with Tutu Atwell last year. I don't think many of us really fell for that. We ignored the day two draft capital and left him sitting. So that was a good call.
So you mentioned Brian Robinson and Zamir White, two guys coming from very big programs that have, you know, a good track record of running backs coming out of those programs as well. They don't have amazing analytical profiles. We've seen, you know, Georgia backs especially come out without amazing analytical profiles too, because they've split that backfield, you know, over the last decade or so. And then with Alabama, obviously, you're just getting the best players and the best recruits in general. But given where they're coming from, the schools they're coming from, they could have good draft capital. So what are your thoughts on both Brian Robinson and Zamir White?
I like both. Again, especially at their value, they're both going in that second round range of our rookie ADP. I expect them to stay in that range, even if they get that day two draft capital that I think they would get. I think Zamir White is another one of those specialist types. He's not going to catch the ball very much. He's just that pounder, the role that he played alongside of James Cook at Georgia. Robinson, I like a little bit more, though, because he always seemed to be involved at Alabama, even when they had Najee Harris and Damian Harris and all of these elite recruits. And Robinson was a four-star recruit himself, so he was no slouch. But even as a freshman, he was involved in that backfield and had a role. And it took him staying 5 years at Alabama before he really took on the workhorse role. But he did that this year. And what was most impressive to me about his game is he added that pass catching element. He caught 35 passes for almost 300 yards. So that tells me maybe he can be in the right situation, that workhorse back that we want and that is so rare in this class.
Yeah, I feel like he's flying under the radar a little bit. You know, when I did my prospect guide and when I was analyzing these guys, I wasn't necessarily super high on Robinson, but when I view him now against the market, it feels like he's become kind of a decent value overall. And then, you know, your comment about Zamir White, it almost feels like Zamir White is like an arbitrage play to Kenneth Walker in a way.
Yeah.
Where you know, you can get that early down work. He's really athletic. I mean, he can play that early down role really well. And you know, if Kenneth Walker, if that doesn't translate for him, the pass catching stuff, then all of a sudden you do have some sort of arbitrage there between Kenneth Walker and Zamir White. Before I let you go, Ryan, one more question. Give me a running back or two that you think is flying under the radar right now. Not a lot of people really care about them. Or they're just really good values from an ADP perspective. Just backs who are generally undervalued. Who do you like?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mentioned the name Jerome Ford earlier. I think he should be in that mix with Robinson and Zamir White, kind of in that same value range in the second round of rookie drafts. But he's not there. He's more like a late third rounder. He's the RB12 in our ADP currently. Damian Pierce, another SEC back I like a little bit. RB8 and 23 overall in our ADP. Looks like he's going to go RB5 in the NFL draft, according to Grinding the Mocks. And then Pierre Strong, the small school back, RB10 in our ADP. I like all three of those guys. Strong is another kind of arbitrage. He's not going to catch the ball either. But if you miss out on White and you miss Walker early in the draft, grab Pierre Strong in round three.
Ryan, as always, so great to chat with you. For those of you who aren't following Ryan and his work, you can find him on Twitter at RyanMC23. And make sure to check out DLF's offerings by going to DynastyLeagueFootball.com. They recently announced a subscription bundle with BetSports, making it a nice one-stop shop for all things sports. And you can follow me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast and make sure you're checking out all that I'm offering over on LateRound.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Really appreciate it. Talk to you later in the week.